Good to see you this morning. How's everybody doing today? You guys good? Yeah, glad to be here at church today. Welcome to week one of feeling great about life. And recently I saw that movie called Inside Out. Any Inside Out fans? Oh, I think everybody's seen that movie. It's amazing. And it's a great show about this little 11-year-old girl that relocates from the Midwest to San Francisco, and she goes through a whole variety of emotions when she arrives in her new home, and you know, she doesn't know anybody, and she's kind of starting over, and she's got these five friends that are in her mind that are the five emotions, and they're all trying to control her life. One is joy, one is sadness, one is disgust, another is fear, and another is anger. And so these five little voices inside the head of this 11-year-old girl are trying to control her emotions. And at the beginning of the movie, it appears that each of the emotions really believes that, you know, their perspective is exactly what this little girl needs to listen to. But at the end of the movie, they come to the conclusion that life is full of a variety of emotions, and that being able to balance your emotions is actually the key to living a prosperous and successful life. You know, when we read the Bible, we see that the Bible has so much to say to us about our emotions and balancing our emotions. If we're not careful, we can get too low, or sometimes we might even get too high, if that's possible. But God wants us to balance those feelings of anger, of disgust, of worry, of fret, of joy. And today I want to kick off our series today by talking to you about the first of those five emotions mentioned in the story Inside Out, and that is the emotion of joy. Most of us here today would say, I would like to have more joy. How many of us would say, I'd like to be a little bit more joyful? Okay, you come to a great place today, by the way, if that's the way you're feeling. And God wants you to be a person that is joyful. And it's amazing because all throughout the Old and New Testament, the Bible speaks of this emotion of joy and how we get it and how we maintain it and how we live by it and how it makes a difference in our lives. And I want to do some hard work over the next few weeks on our emotions as we look at some of these powerful passages of Scripture. They're going to help us put our emotions in sync with God. And we're going to be looking at the Psalms. And the Psalms, I believe, is also the most emotional book because it's the hymn book of Israel. And so it's filled with emotions. It's filled with despair and hurt, and it's filled with joy and praise and everything in between. So we're going to have a great time over the next few weeks looking at this great series, Feeling Great About Life, because I believe that when our emotions are in order, that we can love God more. But you know, Jesus spoke about joy. And in John 15, he said, I have told you these things so that you will be filled with joy, and yes, your joy will overflow. And I love that because that is God's challenge to us, is that our joy would be overflowing. And that we wouldn't just have a little bit of joy, but that joy would be brimming over. I mean, that joy would be abundant, that we would have joy even in the middle of great adversity, and we would have joy on Monday, and we would have joy on Friday, and we would be joyful people next month and next year, and that would just be a practice and a discipline and a focus of our lives. One of the great questions about joy is, well, what exactly is joy? It may be hard to define. I've got a couple of definitions I'll give to you. Joy is a confidence that God is in control of the details of my life and that I can trust Him. Joy is confidence in God, that God is in control of the details of my life and that I can trust Him. Somebody else said this, joy is an inner spiritual delight. How about that for a definition? An inner spiritual delight. Somebody else said, joy is the emotion that is for the soul to be satisfied and the soul to be glad. And I'd love for all of us, man, to have a glad soul. Doesn't that sound good? That sounds good. Most of us are like, I'm not sure what that is, but it sounds awesome, doesn't it? A glad soul, a glad soul. In 1 John 1:4, the Bible says, and we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. John wrote his letter of 1 John so that people could have joy as they heard about Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ is the focus of joy. And he says, I want you to have a lot of joy. I want your joy to be complete. I don't want you to have just a little joy. I want it to be brimming over. I want you to have complete joy. And I've written these things. See, a lot of people think that joy is a passive emotion. It's kind of like something I can't control. Joy just kind of comes on me if these certain circumstances happen in my life. But did you know that we ought to have a joy-o-meter in our life, measuring the amount of joy that we have? And joy is not just a passive feeling. You can actually incite joy into your life. If your life is focused on the right things, it will bring joy into your experience. Now, I didn't say that you're not going to have some hardship. I didn't say things aren't going to be difficult. But did you know that if your focus is on the things that we're going to talk about this morning, that you can have a lot more joy in your life than you think that you can? You could be a lot more joyful than you have been. You could have a lot more joy in your life than maybe is even anticipated. It's not just a passive emotion. You got to work at your joy. Joy is a spiritual discipline. There's some things in the Christian life you got to work a little at. And I want to tell you, joy is something we ought to work on. We as followers of Christ know there's a lot of things that we ought to do, and these are spiritual disciplines. Let me add one more to the list: joy. God wants you to be joyful. It's the will of God for you to be joyful. Paul commanded in the book of Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. Yeah, and that's a command. So to be joyful is actually to be in sync with the things of God. Okay. And sometimes we think, well, that's not possible because I'm not like a real bubbly person, you know. Sometimes we think joyful people are like in a special category. They were born with a certain temperament, you know, and it's just people that are outgoing and they smile all the time and they just wake up at 5 a.m. ready to go, excited every morning and everything's great. Listen, joy is not just a temperament. It's not. You can be a melancholy personality and have the joy of the Lord. You can be a major sanguine, you can be a people person all over the place and be depressed. So joy is not just temperament. Joy is an inner spiritual delight. It's a focus in our life, and it's something that we got to work on a little bit. Okay? Joy is not being super spiritual, you know, just ignoring and living in denial of the world around you. And it's been said some people are so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. Maybe you've talked to somebody before, they quote so many Bible verses, you can't even understand what they're talking about. You know, they live in a totally different universe. You know, they're out of touch with reality, it may feel like. That's not what joy is. Joy is not about being fake either. It's not about being fake. It's not about being super spiritual. It's not about acting like everything's great when everything is not. That's not what joy is. Joy is an inner spiritual delight. I think most people today are seeking happiness instead of joy. And happiness is based on happenings. So if X, Y, and Z happen, then I will feel good. But if these things don't happen, then I will feel bad. Joy is something that transcends happiness. Joy is something that happens in here, not out here. I can't control all this stuff, but I can sure work on this stuff in here. Amen. So joy is not being fake. It's not being super spiritual. It's not just tied to certain personalities. It is something that God wants for every follower of Christ. So why am I joyful? The next question is, why am I joyful? Why should I be joyful, right? I want to be depressed. Why should I be joyful? Look what the scripture says in Psalm 126, verse 3, which is our passage this morning. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. How about that? Now, say it with me. The Lord has done great things for us. The psalmist doesn't say, the Lord has done great things for me. He says, the Lord has done great things for us. God has done some great things, church. He really has. Do you believe that today? Do you believe that? God has done great things. Now, he may not have done exactly what you have wanted him to do, and he may not have done all that you hope that he will do. But the Lord has done great things, and we are filled with joy. So here's how we begin to build a joyful life. Remember what God has done in your life. Remember what God has done. Remember all that God has brought you through. Don't forget that. Don't forget that. What about your salvation if you're a follower of Jesus Christ? God has done great things. Do you remember the moment that you heard the gospel message and the Holy Spirit opened your heart to the message of Jesus, and His grace and His mercy abounded in your life, and you said yes to Him? God has done great things. I was an 8-year-old boy. I brought my childhood Bible right here. It's a King James version. How about that? Yeah, it's like old school, man. Back in the day, it's like the real good stuff. And in the cover of this Bible, I'll show you right there. The day that I accepted Christ, Wednesday, June the 4th, and I won't say the year because it was a really long time ago, at 10:15 p.m., I wrote in this, my dad had me write this, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. How about that? And then I signed my name. And then my pastor wrote underneath that, God bless you as you're baptized, Ryan, on your birthday. And a prayer from your pastor, and he signed it and stuff like that. Isn't that great? God has done something great. I got to remember that. God has done great things. God has done great things. We have pictures in our house of our children being baptized. Why? God has done great things. I want my kids to remember God has done great things in their life. I want to remember. You know, as a parent, the greatest victory a parent can ever celebrate is to see children come to Christ. God has done great things. Man, what has God done in your life? What has God done? Everybody's story is a little different. Everybody's situation is a little different. But God has done great things. We forget this. Sometimes we fail to celebrate the great things that God has done. And if God has redeemed you, God has saved you, and God has transformed you, you got a reason to celebrate. There's joy in our salvation. There's joy when we reach spiritual milestones in our lives. Milestones. You know, certain things that we do. Our faith goes to a new level. Some of us are committing today to the Shake the City Project, or you've been involved in it. God is stretching your faith. God is stretching your faith. God has done something great. You would have never thought about being that generous a few years ago, but today you're in a different place, and God has done great things. God has done, God's always doing great things. If we will listen to His call and we will follow His direction, God will continue to do great things. God doesn't just do great things in the past. God will do great things in the future. Do you believe that? And see, we have joy because our hope is in the fact that God is going to continue to do great things. He is. God's going to continue to do it. Last year, we were on a family vacation in Florida, and we stopped in Daytona Beach to eat lunch one afternoon. And I don't know anything about Daytona Beach, Florida. We actually just stopped at this restaurant because it was available, and we were hungry at that time, and I didn't know where to park or anything. We showed up, looked at this restaurant. I looked across kind of the walkway, and there was a huge amphitheater that was there. And I said, Gina, I think I've been here before. And I remembered in the 9th grade that I sang in the church choir, and we had done a mission trip to this place, and we sang in a place that looked just like this. And I said, I got to go over there. So I walked over there. It looked the exact same as it did back in the day. And I realized this was the very place that our church group had come and sung. But it was even more important to that than that to me, because it also reminded me that at the end of the week of our little mission trip there, I led a little 8 or 9-year-old boy to faith in Christ. And we knelt together there on the beach, and he committed his life to Christ. And God used me to lead him as a 9th grade boy. I had no idea what I was doing. Little did I know that that would be the beginning of my ministry of leading hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people to Christ. And it all began that day there in Daytona Beach. And I remembered God has done great things. God has done great things. God's done some great things in your life, hasn't he? Let's not forget it, church. And we ought to be joyful. I'm convinced there's two kinds of Christians. There's glasses half empty Christians who only see their problems. And there's the glass is half full Christians. And Christians who the glass is half full are the people that remember God has done great things. See, you'll start to activate the joy in your life when you remember that. God has done great things. The glass is half full. It isn't half empty. God's doing great things. God's going to continue to do great things. I may not be feeling it right now. God's going to do great things. God's doing great things. He is. So there's spiritual milestones. You know, another great thing God's done, God's put some people in your life that love Christ and pray with you and pray for you and encourage you. And that's a blessing. When you have friends like that, hang on to them. Don't let those guys go. Hang on to them. God has done great things. God's put people in your life that love you, challenge you, inspire you, bless you with the word of God. Don't forget, God's done great things. He's done great things. Spiritual milestones. Serving God. Serving God. Many of us today are really serving God. Nehemiah said, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." When the joy of God is in your life, you will have greater capacity to serve God than you ever thought was possible. You will serve God with a holy tenacity that would not be otherwise achievable. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And so the Lord has done great things. The Lord has done great things. It's not about being fake, but it's about being focused. Okay? The Lord has done great things. I'm focused on what God has done. I'm focused on what God is doing. I am focused on what God will continue to do. The Bible says, "He who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it." Okay? See, you're just a work in progress, and God isn't finished yet. God's still sanding off the rough edges. He's still working. Okay? God has done some great things. Why should I be joyful? God's done great things. He has. Look at this also. There's another question. When I'm joyful, what do I do? When I'm joyful, what do I do? Now this psalm here, Psalm 126, begins in verse 1 by saying, "When the Lord brought back his exiles to Jerusalem, it was like a dream. We were filled with laughter and we sang with joy." We were filled with laughter and we sang with joy. And there's three emotions in here that I love. I love this. It says here, we dreamed, we laughed, and we sang. See, when you're joyful, that's what will happen in your life. You will sing. You will laugh. You'll celebrate. This particular context of this passage is so important. The Israelites in 587 BC were carted off to Babylon by the evil king Nebuchadnezzar. He decimated the city of Jerusalem, tore down the temple, tore down the city, embarrassed the Jewish people, and took the sharpest and brightest and most educated young men and leaders of Jerusalem back to the homeland. And if you've read the book of Daniel, you know that's the particular context of the book of Daniel, is Nebuchadnezzar taking the Israelites back to his homeland. But now the Israelites, 70 years later, are back. And that's why it says in verse 1, when the Lord brought back his exiles to Jerusalem. The people that are celebrating are the people that have been oppressed. The people that are rejoicing are the people who have been in bondage. The people that are celebrating, they were dragged away from their homeland into captivity and slavery, and now they're back. Now they're back. And they're responding by dreaming and singing and celebrating what God has done. You know what? When the joy of the Lord's in your life, you will dream a new dream. You will. You'll dream a new dream. You don't have a dream. When you're just surviving and crawling and just getting by, you don't have a dream in your heart. You're surviving. You aren't dreaming. Dreaming a new dream in your life comes from the joy of the Lord. It does. And the people said, "We've been in captivity, we've been oppressed, we have a new dream. We've never been able to think like this before. Wow, this is amazing. I got a new perspective." You know? You'd be joyful too, wouldn't you? I mean, if you've ever been oppressed and then you've been set free, you have more joy because you know what it's like to walk in freedom and to walk out of oppression. But if you were never oppressed in the first place, then freedom doesn't even seem that great. So now the people are celebrating, man. They're singing, the Bible says. Sing. I believe song is one of the greatest expressions of joy. You know, have you ever just felt great inside and you wanted to sing? That's like every weekend at Edge Church for me. I don't know about you guys. A few weekends, a couple months ago, I was just singing my lungs out. We were singing some of our favorite songs. I mean, I was in it, man. I was in the spirit, church. My hands were lifted. I was singing. My wife was making a weird face at me down on the front row. And after the service, she said, "Why were you singing so loud?" I was like, "Honey, I was just in it." She was like, "Can you sing on key?" You know? And then I realized I was wearing one of those headset microphones. And the sound guys had left it on in her earpiece. And she said, "Ryan, I couldn't even lead the church in singing because you were singing so loud and it was so bad. It was so off." Sometimes your wife can just say things like, I've never claimed to be a great vocalist. I'm energetic, though. I'm an energetic singer. You know, man, I was just celebrating. I mean, God was doing something in my life, man. I was feeling it. I was singing. I'm sorry that everybody had to hear all that, but it was awesome in the moment, you know? Has the joy of God just gripped you in a way that you're like, man, I got to sing. I got a new dream. I got to celebrate it. I got to celebrate. We were filled with laughter. Laughter is also a great sign of just the joy of the Lord, you know? Some of the funniest people I know are some of the most spirit-filled people that I know. Sometimes we think, man, if you're like a really great dynamic Christian, you're like somber and serious all the time. Man, but when the joy of the Lord gets on you, man, you got to laugh. And laughter is a great medication, isn't it? Laughter is like medicine. We need to laugh, church. We need to have fun at church. I hope that when you come to church, you laugh a little bit. I do, because I know it's good for your soul. The Bible says it. We should laugh. That's godliness. That's not silliness. That's godliness. If you think that's silly, you take yourself too seriously. So we need to laugh a little bit. We do. It's a sign of joy. Laughter, singing, celebrating, all that's going on. God has brought you back. You should be filled with joy and laughter. And every person that's here today, God has brought you back. If you're in Christ, you've been brought back. You've been brought back. You were in exile in sin, and God liberated you and brought you back in Christ. God set you free. Some of us have dealt with or are dealing with some type of addictions, and you know what it's like to live in addiction, but God is setting you free, and you know what it's like to walk in victory over addictions, and so you have a new perspective. You have the joy of the Lord in your life because you know how dark things used to be, and you know how great things can be when you're in Christ. It's different. It's different. You have a new appreciation. You never thought about walking in freedom till you'd walked in bondage. But once you'd walked in bondage, then walking in freedom looks a whole lot better, doesn't it? It sure does. So how am I joyful? Because I know some of us today are really going through some hard times. And you know, it's funny when you do a sermon series called Feeling Great About Life. I know there's people that looked at that postcard this week and they thought, I am not feeling great about life, you know. And I hope you came anyway if you said that. But how do we feel, how do we have the joy of the Lord when we're not feeling great about life? How do we do it? Look at verse 4. The psalmist challenges us here. Because things don't have to be going great in your life to have joy. Okay? Some of us are in a financial difficulty. Some of us are going through a breakup, or you lost your job, or you're just sad and you're just difficult. I want you can have the joy of the Lord in your life even when all hell is breaking loose in your life. You can. Because joy is about something in here. Okay? You can't control all this all the time, but you can control this, right? Okay, so look what he says to us in verse 4. Restore our fortunes, Lord. As streams renew the desert, those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. They weep as they go to plant their seed, but they sing as they return to the harvest. Now, reading this passage this week, I've been asking myself this question. You know, what does this mean? Because one of my favorite Bible passages is Galatians chapter 6 that says you will reap what you sow. But this passage actually says the opposite of that. It says if you sow with tears, you will reap joy. How does that work? What's going on here? If you weep as they go to plant their seed, but they sing as they return with the harvest. I mean, you plant with tears, but you harvest with shouts of joy. I mean, what is going on? It's because tears are a precursor to joy. Remember, tears will bring the harvest. Your tears will water the seeds of God's work in your life that will bring about joy. So today you have joy in your marriage, and your marriage is going better, and it's going better than it has gone because you remember what it was like to be conflicted with your spouse. And you sowed in tears, but now you are harvesting the joy. You see, when you agonize, when you struggle over something, that's the precursor to joy in your life. God's getting you ready. So don't give up. Don't give up. If you've ever gone through a season in your life where you didn't have anything, and then a little bit later you had some things, you sure do appreciate the things that you have when you have some things, because you know what it was like to have nothing, right? And you sow those tears of struggle become the seeds that bring about joy in our life. It's the same thing. Adversity brings perseverance. That's why James 1 said this: consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. So God is developing perseverance in your life. That's what he's doing. He's teaching you perseverance. Perseverance. Adversity is also a part of life. Do you know that? Adversity is a part of life. So you're not a weirdo just because you've got some problems. Everybody that's here this morning has some problems. Some of us have big, huge problems. Some of us got smaller problems, somewhere in between. But you've got some problems. And God is going to use your problems to help develop perseverance in your life, which is therefore going to bring Christ-likeness, which brings joy. Yeah. And a lot of people today want everything to just be perfect and just to be laid out for them. But if that's the case, you will never learn perseverance. You'll never learn discipline. You will never sow those tears of anguish to reap a harvest of joy and righteousness. You know, if you were a kid that had everything handed to them all the time, when you get to adulthood, guess what? You struggle a lot because you're used to everybody doing everything for you. I have friends like that. They work for their parents. Parents gave them every single thing. They made good grades, and it was easy, and everything was just smooth for them. And then they hit a problem, and it's like the world has ended. And the same can be true in our spiritual life. Our expectation is that God is going to make everything just easy and rosy all the time, and we're just going to feel wonderful about everything. And then all of a sudden, we run into a brick wall, and we fall apart. We got to understand today, when you are sowing those seeds, they are watered by tears, and it will bring about the harvest of joy in our life. Yeah. So adversity brings a greater dependence on God. Adversity makes you appreciate what you have. If you were sick and now you are well, guess what? You got a new perspective. You're joyful because God has done great things. I remember what it was like to be sick. Before I was sick, I didn't really think about my health that much. But now that I'm sick, I'm reminded of how much I need God's strength. And then when you are well, then you're reminded, look what God's done. And if you continue to remain sick, you know what? God's going to give you joy in the midst of your circumstance because you're going to be brought closer to Christ. You see, you don't have to be well to have joy. You can be sick and still be joyful. You can. Let the testing of your faith produce perseverance. You had difficulty having children, and now you have children, and guess what? You have a greater appreciation for those kids. I remember when we were starting Edge Church, I went to five different principals to ask if we could meet there. We needed a place to meet for our church, and four of the five said no. You know, how many of you know it's easy to find the will of God when you get told no all the time? Yeah, I was like, okay, I guess the Lord has spoken. You know, it's only one person didn't laugh at me, you know. I'm like, thank you, Lord, for clarity, right? I didn't have to pray which school. And so we met in this dirty, smelly, you know, elementary school for a couple of years. And it was a rough place. I was grateful, though. I'm telling you, man, after all those principals looking at me all funny, I was real grateful. I mean, I was extremely grateful. And now that we have this building, I'm extremely grateful. I got the, whenever I get down, I come in and look around, I'm like, oh, God has done great things. You know? I got some joy. I remember the faithfulness of God. You know? When you office out of your trunk, you know, and at Target, you know? I mean, you know, you start to get joyful when you got something else, you know? I actually have a real office now. It's really awesome. Really cool. I have a real desk and stuff. Love that. Adversity is part of the path of joy. So when you're going through hard times, remember, God is preparing you to experience more joy. Yeah. It sounds like the opposite. It sounds like the opposite is true. But every battle has a purpose. And if you're struggling today, be joyful, because God is going to do something great in your life. God is doing something great in your life. If you will not quit, if you will not take your eye off the ball, if you will not say, I'm just going to go do my own thing, if you'll stay focused on God, God will do something awesome in your heart. And it may not be exactly what you thought it was going to be, but it will be great. So why do we have joy today? God has done great things. Oh, he's done great things. Let's don't forget it, church. This week, let's remember God has done great things. Can we celebrate that together? Come on, let's put our hands together. God has done great things. God has done great things. God is continuing to do great things. Great things. Let's pray together.